We're back with more of our Best of Music performance show on Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. It used to be the goal for indie musicians was to be signed to a major label because that was the only way they could be assured of getting widespread exposure. Now, though, indie is a badge of honor. And a big reason for that is the success of artists like singer-songwriter Ingrid Michaelson, who's gotten plenty of exposure while recording for her own label. Her songs, such as The Way I Am, have broken through on the soundtracks of Grey's Anatomy, on commercials for Old Navy, and in places like MySpace. And now Ingrid Michaelson has gone from playing coffeehouse gigs in New York to being on the Lilith Fair tour and on a joint bill with the band Keane. That tour brought her to the Riverside Theater in August, but before the show she came by Lake Effect's performance studio to chat with Mitch Tyke and play a few songs, including this one from her latest CD, Everybody. The song is called Soldier.
Ingrid Michaelson performing Soldier in the performance studio. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
So Ingrid Michaelson, center stage right now, but I should have your two bandmates introduce yourselves as well.
Bess Rogers, and playing guitar.
And I'm Allie Moss, and I'm also playing guitar.
Well, welcome to Milwaukee, all three of you.
Thanks.
There's three more of us, too. There's three guys, three girls and three guys. We have quite a big sound. I think we make a good sound right now. I think our sound is big enough, right?
Yeah.
Without the boys adding their drums and things.
Certainly big enough for Studio C1.
Yeah.
Well, and I should ask you about that because obviously when you started, you were playing much smaller venues, kind of these intimate spaces, and now you're playing at places like the Riverside. It's a much bigger place. How does that affect your ability to replicate the sound that you want to create?
Well, I was just saying this yesterday because we played a kind of underground fan show in Ann Arbor, Michigan for 400 people. And this is after playing for upwards of 3,000 to 4,000 people every night with Keane and then playing on the Lilith Fair dates. And it's definitely, my arm movements have gotten bigger. I felt like we were too big in a small house. Like, you know, in Alice in Wonderland when she gets too big and her arms shoot out the windows. It wasn't a bad feeling. But I definitely felt like we, sonically and just as a band, have sort of we play bigger, basically. But it was a different experience. It was really fun playing this smaller, intimate show. It was actually one of the most fun shows we've had in a long time.
You like grow to fill whatever vacuum you had.
Yeah.
You could play Miller Park.
Right. We could. We've played really big venues. I mean, we've played, you know, all the Lilith dates were, you know, amphitheaters, huge places. So. I think that when and if the time comes where we would have our own show there, we'd have no problem filling it with our noises.
As we're talking now, you are basically a couple days away from finishing the summer part of your tour, and then you have essentially a month off. I know you've got an LL.
A month off.
Well, I say off, right, exactly. How important is the month not on the road anyway?
It's probably going to be doing promo touring and stuff, so it probably is going to be out. Normally, I think I have time off, and then I don't. But when I do have time off, it is very important for me. I like to just, you know, watch movies and not leave my apartment, really. So you kind of have to have the opposite life for a little bit, because this life, not that I'm a crazy rock star and that I go out and get drunk every night, but there's something very tiring about this life. Very rewarding, but very tiring. So it's nice when I'm home, I just like to be home and, you know, I eat my yogurt and I watch movies and I you sleep in the same bed, you know, a bed, not a bunk on a tour bus. You know, it's definitely important for me to have that time off.
Is the time on the road inhibiting from the standpoint of a songwriter? And each of you has your own music career, right? I mean, do you find like you have to cram the songwriting into the time you're home, or is it a different phenomenon?
I feel like everybody's different, but I think that if you really want to write a song, you'll find a corner of a room somewhere. You know, I've heard both Allie and Bess off somewhere singing some song in a dressing room that's not used, and I do the same thing. And it's like you just kind of, if the moment really catches you, you find somewhere to go and you just do it.
What about your fame, if I could call it that? Do you ever worry about recording what you want versus what people expect of you?
I think there are moments of that, but you just kind of have to do what you want to do, basically, at the end of the day. I mean, I'm putting out a single that will actually, we're going to play it now, that is not really like what I've done, and I think a lot of my fans are going, I don't know if they're going to be upset, but they're going to think, what is she doing? Because it's very poppy, but I'm kind of itching to try something new. I don't think I'm doing what people are expecting of me at all, actually, which could be dangerous, but well, who knows.
So with that as an introduction, do you want to play it for us?
Yeah. It's called Parachute.
Don't tell anyone about the way you hold my hand. Don't tell anyone about the things that we have planned. I won't tell anybody, won't tell anybody. They want to push you down, they want to see me fall down. Won't tell anybody that you turn the world around. I won't tell anyone that your voice is my favorite sound. I won't tell anybody, won't tell anybody. They want to see us fall, they want to see us fall down. I don't need a parachute, baby, if I've got you. So late at night, and you are your own worst enemy. You'll never win the fight. Just hold on to me, I'll hold on to you. It's you and me up against the world. It's you and me. Love, I don't need a parachute, baby. If I've got you, baby, if I've got you, I don't need a parachute. You're gonna catch me, you're gonna catch if I fall.
Ingrid Michaelson playing Parachute, a brand new single. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I wanted to ask you about videos, because I know when you leave us, you're actually going to head out for a planning meeting about the video shoot for this song, if I'm not
yes.
mistaken. You grew up while MTV was coming of age and artists were looking for exposure on TV. Does it make a difference in the creative process that it's the people who are now already your fans who are looking at your videos, watching for your videos?
I think it's a whole different world now. I think people, if you make a video that, if it's a great song, if it's an interesting video, I think it has a way of people just go, hey, look at this. Like, people that don't, will introduce new people to it. So I think that makes up for the MTV being kind of lost. I do think that new people see videos. I don't think everybody sees everything on YouTube, obviously. But if you make something that's good, I think people will see it.
They're not waiting up at, they're telling friends to watch Friday night videos or
right.
whatever.
I used to love watching videos on MTV. I didn't have cable growing up, so I'd go to my friend's house and watch. I remember the Black Hole Sun video being one of my favorite ones. And the Blind Melon, the with the creepy smiles.
Yeah. The little B-girl.
Yeah, and the B-girl from Blind Melon, I remember that. All the Aerosmith videos I liked.
Well, and you can see that influence in the Maybe video.
I'm
not kidding.
All that hard rocking I do.
So when did you find the uke? Did the ukulele find you?
I can play the guitar very badly, but I can. I wrote a lot of my songs on my album Girls and Boys on the guitar. But I wanted something that was smaller and easier to travel with and easier to play, basically. And I was at my friend's house, and he had all these guitars out, and one of them was this, not this exact uke, but a ukulele very similar to this. And I picked it up, and I just thought it sounded so pretty, and it was four strings. I mean, that's easy, and it doesn't sound like a regular ukulele. It's a tenor, so it's got a deeper sound. And I contacted the people that made it, and they made me one, too.
The ukulele's in the middle of this kind of renaissance now, I think.
I think it's now everybody has one, so they're sort of getting uncool again. I'm just going to power through until they're uncool, totally, and I'm going to keep going.
Well, of course, people think of them as like the quintessential Hawaiian instrument, but they kind of have a melancholy edge to them.
Yeah, especially this one. It almost sounds like a harp sometimes. Because it's got these, I don't know, it just, to me, it's so pretty and delicate. And it also adds a sonic level with the band that isn't there. So it's an interesting nuance, I think.
And so when you're writing, you have the uke part. Is that front and center in your mind?
It depends on what instrument I've written. The ones that I write on the ukulele, yeah.
I wanted to ask about iconic songs, because you're going to play a track from Girls and Boys for us in just a couple minutes. And it's a song that I think a lot of people will recognize. And that would seem like it's obviously a good thing when you are a musician and a songwriter and you have a song that people recognize. Does it cut both ways, though? Or is there something pigeonholing about having an iconic song?
Well, yeah, when the song says Rogaine in it, you know, and it's kind of cutesy, I think that a lot of people then have put me in this, you know, in
quirk.
This pocket. Yeah, like, that's what I do, that's what I am. But the people that really care and want to know more will know more, and the people that just have the one song and don't care to delve in, then they won't. And that's fine with me. That is the way it is.
Do you think, is there sexism still in the music industry when it comes to like singer-songwriter stuff? Do you think women get the credit they should for being innovative? I mean, I wonder if a man had written a song that had, they might not have written about Rogaine, but
Weezer has a song with Rogaine in it.
Oh, there you go.
After I did it, though. Copycats. I think that women face challenges in the music world and every aspect of it, but that makes it more fun to succeed, you know? Like, screw you. I mean, women face challenges everywhere. It's just the way it is. I just find it more of a reason to fight.
And it says something that the three of you here right now are all women and musicians.
Well, that's important to me. So many times there'll be this, like, guy in black with long hair and earrings, and he's doing the sound or something, and we'll come in and we'll you know, be setting up for the show, and he's like, hey, you know, doesn't really care. And then after we play, he'll come up to me and say, that was actually really good. You know, like, that was actually, because he wasn't expecting anything from me. But I like that. I like when that happens, because it's sort of a reward for working hard.
Be nice when that actually doesn't show up in the sentences quite as often, though.
Yeah. I like being the underdog. I like surprising people. Better that than they expect a lot from you and then you fail, you know.
Life is so much easier when people have low expectations.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, before you take us out with one more song, let me say, Ingrid Michaelson, and all three of you, actually, thanks so much.
Thank you for having
us.
This is called The Way I Am.
If you were falling, then I would catch you. If you need a light, then I'd find a match. 'Cause I love the way you say good morning.
Ingrid Michaelson, along with band members Bess Rogers and Allie Moss, performing The Way I Am in our performance studio, recorded by WUWM's John Strelecki in August. Ingrid Michaelson, Bess Rogers, and Allie Moss spoke with Mitch Tyke. We'll have one more short break, and then we'll hear Mac Peak from Northern Ireland. They opened Irish Fest this past summer, and they stopped by our studio to give us a preview. Lake Effect returns in just a moment. This is WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.
'Cause I love